For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 6, would you? 2 Kings chapter number 6 for the preaching of God's Word. Thank you again, Pastor Butler, and thanks in advance to what we'll hear tomorrow and the days ahead. 2 Kings chapter 6. Would you stand to your feet with me for the reading of God's Word? 2 Kings chapter 6. I have the joy of pastoring Crossroads Baptist Church, and a number of our young people are here on the campus, and we're proud of them. And we're praying for them that God will use them. We are 100% behind them. It's great to get here and see them and see what God is doing in their lives. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. As your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I well understand tonight, God, that you don't need me. However, I do need you. So I pray, God, that you'd use me. The arm of flesh will fail me, but Jesus never fails. So do a work in the service. And may the Holy Spirit of God move freely. May the word of God fall on good ground. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. This passage introduces us to the sons of the prophets. These were in doubt, without a doubt, young men that were training for ministry. By the way, it's always a blessing to see young men training for ministry. We have a world that is full of celebrities, and we have a world that is full of professionals, and we need professionals, and we need those that are involved in various occupations. But I'm telling you, in every age and in every place, we need young men that are training for the ministry. And these, without a doubt, were training under Elisha for ministry. They were training in a place that obviously was too small. Scripture says it was too straight, it was too narrow. There just wasn't enough room. So they went to Elisha and said, our desire is to go over to the Jordan, to cut down some trees and build a place and make more room where we can do what we need to do. The answer from Elisha is a favorable one. Go ye. They must have been glad to hear that. The man of God's in support of what we're doing. Go ye. But then the Bible says, one said, be content, I pray thee, to go with us. Don't just send us, join us. And I don't know about you, I like having godly people around me. I like having people with the fire of God around me. I like having those who have the touch of God and experience in walking with God around me. These fellows said, don't just send us, don't just organize us to go, don't just authorize us to go, but go with us. Young people, there's nothing wrong with inviting somebody that loves God to be around you. And so he agrees to do it. I will go. And then the scripture introduces us to one of those fellas cutting down a beam, cutting down a tree, swinging that axe. And the Bible says as he's felling a beam, as the scripture says, as he's chopping down a tree, something unexpected happens. His axe head falls into the water. Now we're reading scripture, and it may not be a big deal to us, but it's a big deal to him. You see, he left one place to go to another place. He didn't leave it to go sightseeing. He didn't leave it to kill some time. He didn't leave it because he had a hobby to do. He left there to go cut down trees. He's swinging an axe to cut down trees. He's doing his best to cut down trees. But when the axe head falls into the water, he can keep swinging all he wants to, but he ain't cutting down no trees. There's a problem. And he can't do what he's supposed to do until he gets that axe head back. Fellows with good intentions, sons of the prophet, headed to do good work. A man willingly doing what is right and trying his best to get the job done, but he loses his axe head and he's got to get it back. I couldn't help but think, as I traveled on to the campus of Pensacola Christian College today, and as my mind wandered and contemplated, what will I meet these young people with? What will I preach? What will I say? What would I want to hear if I was sitting in your seat? Could I say to you, if you're in Bible college, you're doing a good thing. Could I say to you, if you're sitting here tonight trying to get a Christian education and making the Bible the central part of everything you learn, that's a good thing. Could I say to a seminary student or a ministry young man, if you're sitting in a Bible class and learning from experienced men at Pensacola Christian College, and even if you're a nurse or even if you're studying criminal justice, can I tell you, if you're here tonight trying to live for God, you're doing a good thing. By the way, everybody ought to be trying to live for God. But sometimes along the way of trying to do a good thing and trying to do what's right, sometimes along the way, we lose our axe head, we lose our cutting edge, we lose our fire, we lose our drive, we lose our passion, we lose our vitality, we lose our get up and go for God. Maybe you came to this campus, you came to this school, maybe sometime along the journey in your Christian life, you on fire for God, marching on the upward way, pressing toward the mark, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, but in the rigor and the routine of the Christian life, swinging as best as you knew how, giving as best as you could, singing as loud as you could, worshiping as passionately as you could. Somewhere along the line, you lost your axe head. There's no edge to your Christianity. Watch this now. You're right in the middle of Bible college. You're swinging, but you ain't chopping nothing down. You're going to class, Bible class every week, but you don't have any axe head. You're in Bible college. Does that make you spiritual? You've got a degree in Bible knowledge. Does that mean you love the Lord? Can I tell you, there are people that will hear the trumpet sound swinging without an accent. I want to tell you what I want to happen in Bible conference, not just in your life, but in my life. I want to tell you, if I'm swinging, I want to cut something down. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I therefore shall run not as uncertainly. In other words, I want to run, but not in a circle. I want to go somewhere. I fight, here he is saying, so fight I, not as one that beateth against the air. I don't want a shadow box. I don't want to throw prayers. I don't want to swing haymakers. If I'm swinging, I want to hit something. Boom, shaka-laka-laka. I want to do something for God. I've come tonight to ask you, have you lost your cutting edge? Your fire, your fervency for the word of God, your love for Christ, Was there a day and age you had 20/20 vision when you saw Christ so clearly, so unapologetically? You were pursuing a vital and intimate relationship with God. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to happen on purpose, but just because you weren't trying to lose your axe head doesn't mean you didn't lose it. But I'm here to tell you, if God is still alive and the Bible is still true and the Holy Spirit still works, you may have lost it, but here this week you can get it back. Amen. And my prayer that you'll get your axe head back. Now let's watch this fella that lost his. And let's see what happened in this story with him. Let's see how he got it back. Let's see how he lost it. And let's see if we can mirror him and us. I want you to notice, number one, if you're going to get your cutting edge back, it requires a sober reaction. Please look at verse number 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, oh, well. And he cried and said, good, I'm glad I lost it. I ain't really feel like working today anyway. That's not what the scripture says. And he cried and said, well, oops, guess I get the day off. No. The Bible says he cried and said, alas. Here's what alas is. It's an expression of grief and pity and concern. I'm saying there was a broken spirit in this man. It bothered him. It concerned him. It broke him. I'm asking you today, if you don't read your Bible like you used to, if you don't pray like you once did, if you don't sow in like you did 5 years ago, I'm not just asking you if you lost it. I'm asking you, does it bother you? Does it bother you when you and God aren't that close anymore? Does it bother you when preaching doesn't faze you anymore? Does it bother you when you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness anymore? There was a broken spirit in this fella. I'm telling you, if Bible conference is to be a success this week, we need more than just sermons from preachers. We need more than just seats with people in them. We need more than just songs that are sung by musicians. We need more than a schedule that is kept on time. We need some boys and girls and some men and women that'll say, when I'm not doing what I should do, when I'm not where I once was, it will bother me. It was a broken spirit, but there was also a blundered stewardship. Notice he said, for it was borrowed. I can imagine that axe head going into the water. No. Alas. That's an old English word for, oh no. And then, for it was borrowed. Then he goes, not only is this a bad thing, but it wasn't even mine. He's thinking to himself, what am I going to tell my boy? I imagine when he said it is borrowed, he was thinking to himself, when it was loaned to me, it was loaned to me for an intended care. He expected me to take care of it. It was loaned to me, if you would, not only with an intended care, but with an inevitable conclusion. Watch this now. There's somebody back at the house that is expecting me to bring the axe head back to him the same way I found it. And I would say to you, if you lost your axe head, it ought to bother you that you don't have it anymore because you can't do the work like you once did. But it also ought to bother you because your life is not yours. It's been given to you on loan. What? No, you're not your body. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. I want to tell you, your time is God's. Your talent is God's. Your treasure is God's. Everything you have is God's. And just like that fella had to go back and face the owner, one day we're going to stand at the beam of seat before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to say, what'd you do with that voice? What'd you do with that time? What'd you do with those 4 years at Bible college? What'd you do with that relationship with that girl? What'd you do with those Saturday afternoons on that bus route? And I want to tell you, I want to take what Jesus gave me and give it back to him the same way he gave it to me. Does blundered stewardship faze you? God has loaned us something. How well are you taking care of his stuff? There was a sober reaction. Number two, there was a strategic return. Notice what the scripture says. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Verse number six. And the man of God said. Now I want to tell you something. This fellow needed some help. And thank God the man of God wasn't far away. You know, I have written down in my notes, you know, a strategic return, first of all, involves some accepted support. See, he needed some help, but just because you need help doesn't mean you take it. He could have said, I lost it and I'll find it myself. No, you won't. You don't have any idea where it is. Come on. Maybe God has somebody sitting at Bible conference tonight, and maybe he says, you need your axe head back, but you need to accept some support. Don't get mad at mom and daddy when they tell you you're not where you used to be. Don't get mad at a faculty teacher here that says you used to have more fire. Don't get mad at the pastor when he preaches a message that gets all up in your business. I'm telling you, you need somebody helping you, somebody reminding you that serving God is still right, that Jesus is still good, that the work of God is still the best life. Are you willing to take some help? Don't get mad at your girlfriend when she tells you, you're not the godly guy I first started dating. Well, go find somebody. Be careful, she might just do it. Accepted support, but notice there must be an acknowledged spot. Well, fella, if you want to get it back, tell me where you dropped it. Take me to the spot where you lost it and maybe we'll find it. I hear people say all the time, I don't have any joy anymore. Well, what were you doing when you had joy? Well, I don't have any peace anymore. Well, what were you doing when you had peace? Well, church is just not fun anymore. I don't know what happened to church. Nothing. What happened to you? The Bible's still good. And the preacher's still preaching it. And the Holy Spirit's still working. Yeah, but once in a while, why don't you show up? Amen. Where fell it? If you had peace when you prayed, go pray again. If you had joy when you won people to the Lord, start winning people to the Lord again. Come on, if you were more in love with God when you read your Bible, then start reading your Bible again. I sit down as a pastor and I counsel people all the time. They say, Pastor, everything in my life is going wrong. I've got all kinds of problems. And then you sit down and tell them, here's what you need to do to get them right. Well, you know, I didn't really come to hear that. Come on. Go back to the spot where you had it. I'm telling you, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know we live in a changing world. I know things are shifting all the time. I know paradigms aren't what they used to be. I know there are things that are going on now that never used to happen before. But extra, extra, read all about it. I'd like to tell you something that has not changed. God is still the same. He's still able. He's still worthy. He's still moving. If you want what you once had, go back to where you lost it. Ooh. Like Mufasa. Ooh, say it again. Amen. Glory to God. Noise makes me preach. Somebody that's tired's like, be quiet. Strategic return. Maybe God has allowed Bible conference to fall right on the calendar because you need to get back to some things. Come on. Get back to some things. Get back when you meet God early in the morning. Get back to the place where nobody matters more than him. Get back to the place where worship is not something you do for a few moments during the service, but it's devotion to God that you do 24 hours a day. Get back to the place where God is not the leftover and where God doesn't get the scraps. Get back to the place where you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. I'm telling you, get strategic about it. If you want to find it, go back to where you lost it. Number three is my last point. You know what that means? Nothing. Sober reaction. Strategic return. Number three, supernatural remedy. Supernatural remedy. He showed him the place. And then Elisha took his wand out. Nope, don't say that. And then he spoke in some gibberish and Shalibada Nissan Shadabada Handa. No, he didn't say that. That didn't happen either. He cut down a stick. Somewhere I'm thinking, you don't Google how to get your axe head back, and Google says, cut down a stick. You know, if you're going to get your axe head back, it's going to take the remarkable power of God. I say it's going to take God. Listen to me. Thank God for Pensacola Christian College, but you need more than that to get your axe head back. You need God. Thank God for a godly mama and a godly daddy. Hey, listen to me. I was raised in a home of a godly daddy and a crazy black mama. Listen to me now. He told me the truth and she beat it into me. But with all of that truth telling and all of that backside weapon, listen to me. I'm here today, not just because of them, I'm here today because of God. I'm here to tell you, you need the remarkable power of God, but God may use an unlikely method. Listen to me. You may be looking for a revival service from your favorite speaker. I've heard people say, I can't wait till April. Brother so-and-so is going to be here, and I'm planning to be right with God on that week. And I'm thinking, you really think God needs him to get on a plane and fly to your city and preach a sermon on a special night for you to get right with God? Maybe God just wants you to get up and read a verse you read many times before. Hear your pastor that you hear every single Sunday to realize it's not the man, it's the master. An unlikely method, but an undeniable miracle. The iron did swim. Now stop looking at that passage like that happens all the time. Do you remember? Blue. And out of nowhere, the stick goes into water. And all of a sudden, here comes the iron up at the top of the water and starts swimming. That's a miracle. And you know what you say when you see a miracle? Shazam. Amen. God still does miracles. Somewhere in the building, there's somebody thinking they're too far gone to get it back. Some college student has so blundered your stewardship, you've so lost your testimony, you've been so cold so long, you don't even think you can get hot again. But I'm here to tell you, God can do it. I'm here to tell you, God can do it. Well, preacher, you don't know what I did last summer, and you don't know what I've done this semester, and you don't know how many people I've disappointed, and you know how many people who have invested in me who've lost faith in me. You know how many times I've been a disgrace to my family. Yeah. But I'm here to tell you, my God owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent at the same time. He's immutable. He can't change. He's eternal. He was, and he is to come. And I'm here to tell you, regardless of how many times you messed up, how many times you failed, how many sermons you've slept through, how many times you've said no to the Holy Ghost of God, how dusty your Bible has gotten, I'm here to tell you right here tonight, if there's oxygen in your lungs and God is still real, you can get your axe head back. Remarkable power. Watch this now. But there's a responsible process. Please listen. The axe head did swim. Number one, there must be realized availability. You got to spot that thing swimming. Like, it's there. Hey, listen to me. You got to believe that serving God with fire and fervor is possible. Don't come to this Bible conference already saying ain't nothing gonna happen, nothing ever does. Listen to me. Nothing probably won't. That wasn't grammatically correct, but y'all know what I meant. Realized availability. Watch this now. Reaching activity. Notice. The Bible said, therefore said he, take it up to thee. Realize it's there. Take it up. Here it is. But watch this now. reaching activity, and he put out his hand. Yeah. Come on, everybody, put your hand up. Come on, do it. Put your hand out. Put your hand out. Amen. Everybody's always wondering, is he serious? Is he joking? Is he serious? I'm serious. Put your hand up. Hey, let me tell you something. Maybe the reason why you haven't gotten anything out of church lately is because you're not reaching. You can put your hand down. Somebody's going to leave Bible conference, Dr. Shoemaker, and somebody's going, whoa, God spoke to me. God showed up. Every single sermon, God spoke to me. I'm never going to be the same. Woo! I'm so excited about what I got out of Bible conference, and somebody's going to leave the same Bible conference and say, I ain't getting nothing. As far as I'm concerned, classes would have been better. What's the difference? Somebody's got his hand out. Come on. You remember that church where you used to make decisions for the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You remember that preacher that you used to sit under, that God used to speak through and God did a work in your life? You remember that Bible that you used to read every day? And even though you'd read some of those passages 15 and 20 times, God made them so alive like you had just read it. Can I tell you something? The Bible hadn't changed. Hey, the church is still there. Hey, the word of God still does a work in people's lives. You just stop reaching your hand out. Hey, listen to me. This Bible conference, come every single time with your hands out, with your mouth open, ready to receive something. Hey, every once in a while I hear people say, I went to the buffet. They had a bunch of food. It was all hot. It looked so good, but I never ate. Get up and get the food. Now, God is going to give you an opportunity to get something back. If you leave a buffet hungry, something wrong with you. How many sermons this week? 12. 11. That's a buffet. Well, I've got my favorite kind of sermon. You got to find something here you like. Eat it. Digest it. Reach out for it. A realized availability, a reaching activity, and a receiving actuality. And took it. Verse 7. And took it. I'm telling you, young people, it is here for the taking. It is here for the receiving. God wants to do a work this week. I believe it. We didn't come here to fill a time slot. We didn't come here to get away from the cold. We didn't come here because we needed a sabbatical. We came here because we believe that God is still working in the lives of young people, and he has souls to save and lives to change. I'm here to tell you, this is not a motivational speech. This is a Bible message. It is here for the taking. Who will you blame when you don't take it? If you're not careful, ministerial student, you'll leave Bible conference critiquing every sermon instead of taking what God had for you. Well, I don't like the way he, and I noticed that he, and I would have preferred if he. Be quiet and take what God's trying to give you. He's doing a good thing. Sure he is. He's cutting down a tree because he wants more room to do what he's supposed to do. I'm not here to indict every one of you. Bless God, some of you out here don't want to serve God. You young people nowadays, I wouldn't give you a pluck nickel for these young people, these new age people. They got the little iPads reading the Bible. They don't love God. Listen to me. Not all of y'all are bad. Just most of you. No, I'm just kidding. We're not here to brand your motives. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of your motives and your intentions, you can still lose your accent.
Yes, sir.
But here's the good news. Just like you can lose it, you can get it back.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.